I'm Ruby Ryder. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 167 on September 19th, 2017. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and all that stuff for people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/RubyRyder or click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. And remember, there is an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe and non-toxic toys that you can purchase from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, enticeme.com. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRyder, and be sure to use the coupon code RYDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's R-Y-D-E-R. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. Okay. So I am full of so many things because I just came back from Catalyst Con. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there is a sexuality conference that happens. Used to be bi-coastal twice a year, but it's going through some different changes. Point being, it has been happening out on the West Coast every year for some time. I think I went to the first one like 6 years ago, and I have missed one or two in between, but I did go back this year because it's held in Los Angeles. So I went to the Westin Hotel near LAX and congregated and celebrated and educated and just had a wonderful time with all of my sex-positive friends. That conference is open to sex educators, sex geeks, just plain old sex positive people, sex workers, all kinds of different people. It's not exclusionary in any way, shape, or form. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, please do consider going if you are one of those people that just can't get enough talking about, hearing about, pondering about, hearing new ideas about sexuality. So that's where I was this weekend. I just got home and dove into recording a podcast. So the first piece of news I want to share with you is pretty fucking awesome. When I get really excited, I swear a lot. And I know that one person wrote and said that when I say fuck, every time it's a little jarring because she sort of considers me the Martha Stewart of pegging. There's going to be a lot of fucks here because I'm really excited. I went to Wikipedia because I was doing some research and I needed to find out the date that Dan Savage held that contest on his column that created the word pegging, right? I wanted to find out what year that was because I couldn't recall. So there I am on the Wikipedia page, pegging, right? And I'm scrolling down and thinking, well, I know that there used to be a year here somewhere. And as you know, Wikipedia can change. If any of you know the whole thing about it can be edited at any time. So I couldn't find, and as I'm scrolling down, who do I see? Fucking Ruby Ryder. Holy shit, everybody. I am in Wikipedia. It is one short paragraph, but it talks about peggingparadise.com, and it talks about pegging101.com, and it did have some mistakes, so I did go in and edit it. It said that I started my blog in 2011, and actually it was at 2010. When it talked about Pegging 101, it said that that website was one that did not include BDSM, but it got the acronym in the wrong order. It said BSDM, so I corrected those two things. And if you've ever really checked out Wikipedia on a slightly deeper level, you will see that there's a tab at the top for the whatever subject you're looking at that says article, and then there's a tab that says talk. This is where those incredible geeky, you know, hardcore people in Wikipedia have conversations about what should be on this Wikipedia page and what shouldn't. And, you know, I was blown away because somebody got on there and said, okay, what was the deal? Because we had this paragraph on there about how Ruby Ryder says that women can enjoy it psychologically and physically. And somebody else came in and said, no, that is just the writer's opinion. There is nothing to back this up. And the first person said, there's no studies about anything with pegging. So what is your problem? And they went back and forth and back and forth. I was blown away because this is all about me. It was like, I don't know who these people are. They're just people who are interested in getting something up there. That, I mean, they have a login to do the editing, but at the same time, I can't tell who these people are. They might be my fans. They might not. I have no clue. And it was fascinating to read the back and forth about what they would allow and what they wouldn't and why. But the upshot of it is, I've got a freaking paragraph in Wikifuckinpedia, people. I am so blown away and so excited. So that's my first news. And then moving on from there, I made a great connection this weekend at CatalystCon with Dr. Robert Lawrence. Now, Dr. Lawrence has like 38 years of experience in the field of sex education. He and his partner, Carol Queen, and this is where my interest comes in, were actually the people who made those first couple of videos called Bend Over Boyfriend, which is where that phrase was coined from, are those films. They're quite dated at this point, but regardless, Dr. Lawrence has been in the field of sex positive everything for so long. He has a doctorate of education degree in human sexuality and holds a second one in healthcare. And he speaks everywhere, he consults, he educates, and he was at the conference. So I connected with him. He told me a couple of really interesting and humorous stories about the filming of the movies Bend Over Boyfriend. And I asked him if he would do an interview with me, and he said, absolutely. So that is upcoming in the future, and I'm totally excited about it. This is like one of the movers and shakers of the original sex positive movements. So yeah, really, really excited about that. This happens when I go to a conference every time, is that, you know, there's so much that happens there and there's so many people that I meet that I come back all pumped, and I'm sure you could just hear it in my voice. So yes, wanted to announce that. The other thing I'm trying to track down is, and I may have mentioned this before, I came across the young man who was the catalyst for the creation of the word pegging. He was the guy who wrote a letter to Dan Savage's column at the time, Sex Advice column, because I think that was like before the internet, or at least before the internet is what it is today. And he said, okay, look, we've got a bunch of names for a bunch of different things in sexuality, but we don't have a specific name for this. And that's when Dan Savage held the contest. People submitted different ideas. I don't know if this young man did or not. And it got voted on, and voila, we have pegging. So I ran across him on the Reddit threads, and I have put it on the back burner for a while, but he did consent to do an interview. He lives in Australia, and I am going to try and track him down and get that happening too. Dr. Lawrence actually really encouraged me getting back in touch with this man and having him listed in the history of sexuality, and he had an interesting viewpoint. He said, okay, look, I can understand when people want to remain anonymous, which this young man mentioned in one of his Reddit posts that he did. He said, you know, I helped to create a word in the English language, and I can't even tell anybody about it. I can't tell my family, I can't tell my friends, because that would be outing himself as doing pegging, right? So Dr. Lawrence said, but here's what you can do. You can submit the information to the Kinsey Institute so there is a complete and accurate record of sexual history regarding how this happened, and put an embargo on the information for 50, 100 years, whatever you need, right? So that it will never impact your life, which is totally a great idea. So anyway, I'm telling you guys before I actually make contact with this young man. It looks like he only gets on Reddit about once every week or so. So I sent him a message and we will see what happens. But I am really hoping that I get this lovely Australian accented man who gets to tell his story about how he helped create that word. He needs some airtime, man. That guy needs some credit, whether or not everyone knows what his name is or not. So that's the other announcement, is those two interviews. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so we have a lot of letters, so let's jump in and start with those. This is a message I received on FetLife. Ruby, I have been listening to your pegging podcast with great interest, but little hope for my pegging desires to come true. Still, I listen and learn and yearn. I am married to a great woman who no longer has any interest in sex of any kind. We have been together for over 40 years and enjoyed a great sex life until menopause. Then everything stopped. Not long after that, I became interested in gay porn, and that led me to try gay sex. I found it enjoyable and also found that I love the feel of a stiff cock pounding my ass. That stimulated my interest in pegging, which led me to you. I am so thankful for your podcasts. Through you, I have learned about self-fulfillment, self-pleasure, what to use, and how to use it. I have also learned that there are many others out there who share my desires, and it gives me hope that I might someday get the music. I wanted you to know how important your work is to me. I also wanted to say that you have a beautiful voice and absolutely charming laugh. It is such a pleasure to listen to your podcast, and I look forward to hearing many more. Sincerely, Wishful Wanderer. Oh, that was really, really sweet to receive, and thank you for your lovely compliments. And I, too, hold hope that you will someday get the music played for you. I know that sometimes in relationships, when you've been together for so long, and all of a sudden libidos change, whether it's menopause or whatever it is, and one partner wants distinctly more sex and more adventuresome sex, perhaps, than the other, that it can really be a problem. So I feel for you, and that makes me a little sad for you, because I am of the opinion that as long as you want sex, as long as you have that yearning to feel that sexual pleasure, whether it is a pleasure you experience with a partner or a pleasure you give yourself, that's something that is really worth pursuing. I believe that great, wonderful, copious amounts of sex helps keep us young. I really believe that. And I am of the opinion that, yes, when a situation happens like yours and there's really nowhere to go from there, meaning there's no compromise because there's absolutely no interest, that some sort of agreement could hopefully be reached that you can go off and get your pleasures met elsewhere. You didn't mention whether you're on the down low or not, and I try very hard not to make judgments about that because I have found myself in that position before, as many of you who listen to this podcast are aware. It is not my first choice, but sometimes it is the best choice. And I, you know, if you would ask me that 10 years ago, I would have said, yeah, you're crazy. Even 5 years ago, I probably would have said you're crazy and insisted that honesty was the only way to go. But hopefully you have permission to do these explorations because honesty is ideal. Honesty is the best way to do it because that way it's on the up and up and you don't have to sneak around. There's no chance of getting caught and potentially really, really hurting the person that you love so much that you've spent so many years with. But nonetheless, I am happy that you have found a fair amount of pleasure by yourself, that you've done a little exploring with men, and I'm honored that you found a lot of information and reassurance for yourself through my podcast. That really makes me happy. I try and put good information out there, and this feels like an affirmation that what I'm putting out there is really helpful. So thank you so much. And do let me know if I can ever play the music for you. Thanks for your letter, sir. Okay, here's an email. My wife and I are new to some of the things you talk about. She loves wearing a strap-on and forcing me to give her blowjobs, as well as showing me how she needs it from a real penis. It's hot, yet confusing. Do women in general use this as a power shift in marriage to a female-led relationship? She also talks a lot in bed about another male trying to breed her and a male having his way with me. She's already doing the deed on the side, since she says she can barely feel me when she gets overly excited, or is this just bedroom talk about desires? She's admitted that when I use it down there to tease her, she daydreams in using mine to scoop his mess and guide it back into her. Is this the beginning of a female-led relationship, or is it already there? I'd never consider divorce if she's doing the deed with others. Either way just seems hot to me. Strap-on sex has been wild, and I wonder what a woman thinks about while taking her man. Thanks. Okay, so, wow, when I read this, I was kind of going, wow, this does not sound like a good situation for this guy, until I got to the point where you said, either way just seems hot to me. Because here's the deal, when you negotiate new territory in your marriage, it doesn't just happen. It requires negotiation, thus the name. You negotiate that. So your question regarding if women generally use pegging as sort of a springboard into a female-led relationship, no, not at all, not necessarily. I mean, sometimes women discover that they have that underlying dominance. Sometimes they want nothing to do with dominance, but they still really enjoy pegging their partners because they absolutely love it. So, I mean, the responses to pegging run the gamut of anything you can imagine. There are relationships out there where the man is totally dominant, and he ties his partner down and rides her and blindfolds her and what have you. So no, different women have different reactions, and I wouldn't say it's generally true at all that most women use pegging to start a shift of power that eventually leads to a female-led relationship. Female-led relationships are, I don't want to use the word extreme, but they are definitely something that is pretty involved and pretty serious. That's the word I want. And it requires a ton of negotiation, absolutely. If she, in the process of doing pegging with you, tapped into some underpinnings of dominance, like I did, and discovered that she has dominant leanings, that is the time for the two of you to sit down and talk about it. Female-led relationships can be done in a whole variety of different ways. You can have it happen only in the bedroom. You can have it happen 24/7. You can have it involve sex. You can have it not involve sex. You can have you be a servant that serves her all the time from the moment she walks in the door. You can have none of that happen and have you be like a sexual slave. See, there's so many different things. Or it can also tap into the cuckolding fetish, which it sounds like she's leaning into. Now, it's a little confusing for me how you don't seem to know whether or not she's really getting it on the side or not. That also is something that you need to sit down and talk with her about. Because, I mean, you mentioned, either way, it seems hot that you wouldn't want to divorce her. Well, that seems like a great premise to ease her mind about sitting down and talking about it. But it's not okay for her to just do whatever she wants. I mean, if it's okay with you, then I suppose you could continue in that manner, but that is potentially allowing a whole bunch of things to happen that you may not want to happen. And if you allow her to have all that control without negotiating where her control lies and where your hard limits are and where your boundaries are, and likewise, where her limits are, where her boundaries are, then you could get into some really bad situations that could be quite destructive to your relationship. So I really encourage you to sit down and talk about it at length, not in bed, okay? So talk about what a female-led relationship means to you. Talk about whether or not it is okay with you if she sees other men, how that works, the safe sex techniques that she is required to use with them, whether you are open to these men having their way with you, I think is the phrase she used, which is kind of hot, and what safe sex practices they will be using if that happens. See, there's a lot to talk about here. And all of these subjects are so important. I cannot emphasize how important this is. It's almost like she had this fantasy after reading a lot of femdom porn, or maybe watching it and kind of going, ooh, I'm going to do this. But you know, this is not a good idea until you guys sit down and talk and negotiate. And I've said that a bunch of times, but really I can't say it enough. It's very, very important. You do mention at the end, you wonder what a woman thinks about while taking her man. You know, I think we're all a little different. I revel in the power. I love having the power to bring pleasure to my partner, to make him squirm and moan and ideally orgasm just from me fucking him. I have a feeling of almost ownership, not that it extends anywhere beyond that moment when I'm fucking him, but it's like you're fucking mine, that kind of thing. Ooh, I love that. And the physical things that I do when I'm fucking a man reflect that too. The pulling him to me, the sort of physical signs and motions that I make communicate that you're mine thing really clearly. So one more area that it seems like she is into is the small penis humiliation thing, you know, basically telling you that you don't have much of a cock and that she needs to go somewhere else to be satisfied. Again, if this is okay with you and it's hot, then that's fine. And the funny thing about this is a lot of times the guys don't really have a small penis. It's just the humiliation that both parties enjoy. But once again, put that on the table. Talk about it. Talk about it as equals and decide what's okay with you and what isn't. The other possibility here is that she is just letting her fantasy mind run. and talking up a storm about really hot things while you two are in bed, and that she's not really doing anything, which in itself can be, you know, dirty talk like that. It's like, ooh, that is awesome if you're into that kind of stuff. So yes, you need to clarify. You especially need to clarify, because if she's actually having sex with other people, you need to have the safe sex practices agreed upon and in use and all of those sorts of things. You can't just sort of throw your hands up in the air and say, oh, well, she's going to do what she wants. I mean, you can, but that's not advisable at all. That is not something that will keep you safe and happy. Advocate for yourself. Talk about things with her. Agree on something and then relax into it and enjoy the fuck out of it. That's my advice. Okay, good luck to you, sir. Thanks for the letter. Here is the next one. Hi, Ruby. I love your work and I hope you're doing well. This is in response to a letter you read on podcast number 165 from someone who had difficulty taking a larger toy. My wife and I are fairly new to anal play. She only recently became more comfortable playing with my ass. We have one dildo. It's about 6 inches long and perhaps 1.25 to 1.5 inches in diameter, and a small butt plug. She doesn't love using her fingers, so to warm up, I'll usually start with the plug for a few minutes. But during our last session, we were in bed, she had the dildo in hand, and I was, well, impatient, also known as, I just wanted my ass fucked already. She started to insert it, and it was very painful. We used lube, of course. She pulled it out, and as I was preparing to get up to get the plug, she pushed me back down onto the bed. She placed the tip of the dildo just onto my asshole and slowly swirled it around. After just a minute or two of this, which felt amazing in its own right, she was able to fully insert the dildo and thrust away. So at least for me, this very simple step made a huge difference. All the best. Wow, thank you for that tip. That's awesome. One of the things I found, too, is playing around at that entrance, sort of like you put a little bit of it in and you shake it around a little bit, like you dip the head of that dildo in there, or fingers, but in this case, you know, this guy, his wife didn't want to use fingers, but you put that toy in and shake it around a little bit. I've also found that massaging around the opening helps a lot. But the swirling thing, yes, just sort of twisting the tip of that toy, you know, pushing it in and out just a little bit at the very tip of it, at the entrance, so to speak, has absolutely encouraged it to open up to be able to accept a toy. So thanks for that hint. And to whoever it was in 165, give it a try and let us know how it goes. Okay, here's another one. This is a short one that I found on my forums. It's called Letting Go. I love getting fucked by a woman with a strap on, all the parts of it. The prep, the fuck and suck, pregame. So my wife has come enough first, the first finger, the hard sliding dildo going in and out. But here's my question. Why only with pegging do I talk dirty until I cannot use words, moan and groan and beg to be slut-shamed, and after dream of pulling a train of sexy ladies getting double penetrated and or fisted? Why? Does penis in the vag sex require that much concentration? I know I think about a lot. Will I be hard enough? Is she wet enough? Is this good for her? Is it still good for her? Don't last too long, yada, yada, yada. Is that the reason? So I would differentiate between, you're talking about, does it require that much concentration? It sounds like you were totally sinking into like the awesome fantasy world, and that getting pegged is sort of tapping into a core part of you that's releasing this part of you that no longer has any inhibitions about the dirty talk and the fantasies and that kind of stuff, which is freaking awesome. I wouldn't necessarily call that concentration. Here's where I differentiate. I remember speaking to a man, and I think I've talked about this on my podcast before, who put on a strap on himself and fucked his female partner. It wasn't because he had erectile dysfunction. It wasn't for any other reason than he just wanted to see what it was like. And he said it was an epiphany. It was like a revelation, because fucking a woman requires a whole lot of concentration. I absolutely grant you that. And I teach this in my class because you guys are multitasking. And so it's like watching us to see what reactions we have when you fuck us a certain way, changing up the angle, seeing if it's better, trying to have a really good time so you stay hard, but not too good of a time so it doesn't end too early, all of those things. So this man that was telling me this story about how he put a strap-on on said, oh my God, for the first time ever, I could totally concentrate on fucking her. I didn't have the multitasking. It was like all I had to do was switch up the angle and the thrusting and the speed and things like that. I didn't have that other part of it that was connected to me so that I had to really be careful of having, once again, having a good enough time to where I stayed hard, but not too good of a time so that I didn't end things too quickly. Because I think that takes a huge amount of concentration for you guys, and or at least a significant amount, okay? And when you put a strap on, that part is gone. I mean, what's also gone is that you have no feeling with that toy going in and out of your partner. So there's that, but still, that allowed him to really focus in on her 100% for like the first time ever. And he said it was amazing. He learned so much from doing that because he didn't have to think anything about himself and his equipment and whether it was going to function or how it was going to function and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I would term not having to concentrate as much. With you, it almost sounds like how I mentioned before, it's tapping into this amazing core part of you that's just cutting you loose. And it's not a concentration thing. It's more of a, the walls are down and the guy's having a good time and he's thinking about and talking about and moaning and groaning, whatever the fuck he wants, right? Which I think is totally awesome. I think it's an absolutely good thing. And it's somehow those two things that you are comparing are not quite comparable. Apples and oranges is what I would say. So although I take issue with your choice of words, I suspect what you were trying to ask is, when women receive penis and vagina sex, is it like that? Is it like it is for you? Is it the moaning and the groaning and the fantasies and afterwards the more fantasies? And for some women it is, absolutely. And again, I think it's more cutting loose. I think it's more opening up and cutting loose than it is concentration, though. But sure, with some women, absolutely it is. Yeah, good stuff there. Way good stuff. Sounds like you guys are having a great time with the pegging stuff, so keep at it and happy pegging, you two. Thanks for posting in the forums. Okay, this is a private message that I got on Reddit. Hello, and thank you for a few minutes of your time. Your information and leadership has been helpful to so many people. I have to say thank you for that as well. But let me get to the point. Are you familiar with Cowper's fluid? Basically, when my girlfriend pegs me about 15% of the time, I will have a regular mind-blowing prostate orgasm with the typical milky cum. The rest of the time, I squirt clear ejaculate and have an equally powerful orgasm. I have tested this with my girlfriend, and she can make me squirt like this up to 10 times in a session. I've done a lot of research, and it looks like the Cowper's gland clears out the urethra, making way for sperm and lowering acidity. Am I a freak or something? Laugh out loud, other than being an actual freak. Haven't really come across anyone else with a similar experience. Since you are the queen of all things pegging, I had to ask. It's a big volume, too, like a lot. It's almost like I'm pissing, but it's not peeing, and it doesn't feel like I'm peeing. And the intensity of the orgasm is the same as when I have a regular prostate orgasm. Okay, so I have heard about this before. You are not a freak. Or at least you're not the only one, you mentioned, because you are kind of a freak, but you're not a freak in this regard. Let me put it that way. Yes, I have heard about this. I've heard about clear ejaculate. I've heard about it actually a fair amount of times. I'm not sure what causes it. I did a little bit of research, but I kind of stopped doing the research. One of the things that I thought might be happening is that the prostate creates seminal fluid. And the seminal fluid is what is supposed to combine with the semen to carry the ejaculate out of the body. A lot of prostate stimulation causes seminal fluid to keep producing. In other words, it stimulates the prostate to keep producing the fluid. And I believe that this is one of the reasons that when men talk about orgasms, there is usually an adjective that has something to do with pressure. Like, I felt like I was going to explode and that kind of thing. So I kind of thought that this was seminal fluid, but maybe, you know, your body can only produce so much sperm so quickly. So I was thinking, I could be totally wrong, and I know there's somebody out there listening who knows more about this than I do, physiologically and scientifically, shall we say, that the sperm, when combined with the seminal fluid, is what gives it that milky cum kind of texture, but that you could, with some men, continue to stimulate the prostate and continue having either a flow, sort of a leak, you know, the pre-cum thing, which is clear, or actual ejaculate in terms of having those muscle spasms like an ejaculation, but that it's totally clear. I have absolutely heard about this before, and I'm anxious to hear from some of our listeners because I know that this is a thing with some guys. And I'm also interested in hearing if anybody knows exactly what that is. That's my best guess for what it is, but I could totally be wrong. You're not a freak, though. And how awesome for you that this can happen over and over and over again. You got a lot of guys listening who are totally jealous. Wow. Thanks for writing in. And I look forward to hearing from everybody about this that has any further input. Okay. This is another one of those settle in, everybody, because I've got a nice long story for you. And guess what? It's a pegging celebration time. Dear Ruby, I've been meaning to reach out for you for some months, ever since I got caught up on your podcast archives. Yet life has its priorities, and I simply didn't get around to it until now, so forgive me that my story is so long, but it needs to be told from the beginning. And I don't have a real computer to write with, so the end product may come off a little rough around the edges. Please bear with me. Those months ago, I just wanted to give you a quick shout after catching up on the podcast archives and attempt to convey the level of gratitude I felt towards you for opening my mind to this, new to me, world of ass play, and for the way your podcast helped me normalize the inner urges I had been grappling to accept. I first ran across Pegging Paradise maybe 2 years ago while searching online for something I don't recall, but anal in nature. I was not interested in pegging at that time. I recall gleaning some bits of info here and there, but never really dug into what I later learned to be the trove of information you have assembled. Last fall, something impalpable changed regarding my sexual desires, and I experienced renewed interest in anal play like never before. I realized there was an empty space in my sexual fulfillment and found out my ass had the key. I had been doing lots of research on the web about anal play topics, including pegging, and had basically hit a dead end as I was finding very little helpful info. I once again happened upon Pegging Paradise and this time decided to dig a little deeper. I searched the podcast archives and chose to listen to a few episodes based on keywords of interest to me. I had never listened to any podcast before and so had no idea what to expect. After listening to 4 or 5, I was hooked. For a searcher mired in a sea of bad, useless, or just plain wrong information, your words rang true to me, and you soon gained my trust as a source of good input on all things but fun. From there, I went straight to the beginning and started binging your podcasts. I would put on my earbuds and listen to as many episodes as I could in a workday. After a few short months, I finally got caught up this spring. To broaden your understanding of how I arrived at this point in my life, I should offer a bit of background information. I live in Tennessee. I'm a straight male, 37, faithfully, happily married for almost 10 years now. I've worked in construction as a carpenter since age 20. My wife and I connect well on so many levels, especially sexually. We have always had awesome sex since day one, and communication in that realm is open and honest. She has always been open to us trying new and different things as I have introduced the ideas, including anal play. I tend to be more forward and adventurous. With the exception of an occasional finger in my butt from her, which never did much for me because I now know we didn't really have the right knowledge to help make it successful, or the handful of times I had given her anal sex, we have always been mostly vanilla with our approach to sex. Okay, maybe an occasional tit fuck. My history with anal play goes back to my teenage years when I got curious about fingering my ass or rubbing my sphincter occasionally during masturbation in the shower. The first toy I ever used was soon after my marriage. It was a cheap jelly anal bead vibrator wand that I now know is bad. Then there were the few times my wife fingered me on a whim. These early attempts at discovery really led nowhere. I don't think I ever actually felt my prostate until more recently when I turned onto the path of exploration I'm on now. Beforehand, though the idea of what I was doing turned me on mentally and somewhat physically, I had some hang-ups about the concept of anal play, and I simply didn't have the knowledge I do now about where to find the prostate and how much lube fits into the equation, etc. Because I wasn't doing things the right way back then, I never experienced the rewards of correct technique, and thus never pursued much beyond these feeble attempts. The first time I ever heard about pegging is a funny story I must share. You see, I have been an amateur cave explorer for over 12 years now. Yes, I love many types of dark, wet, muddy holes. As an aside, the caver's vernacular contains some funny innuendos such as virgin passage, borehole, crack, shaft, blowhole, and my favorite, scooping booty. Anyhow, my first encounter with the concept of pegging was maybe 10 years ago. Myself and the group of guys I was caving with that day were all sitting outside the cave entrance, changing into our gear, getting ready to enter. While we were all in various stages of nudity, cavers tend not to be modest about changing in front of one another. One friend that has a reputation for being very much into kinky sex and not the least bit afraid to talk about it, who was totally nude at the time, starts telling us he and his girlfriend were thinking of buying a harness and a dildo so she could fuck his ass. I can't recall exactly how everyone reacted, other than some awkward laughter and murmured comments. Myself, who happened to be sitting nearby him, could only mutter something as I got up and moved to a different rock out of sheer awkwardness. I suppose at the time the idea of pegging was way over my head, so I equated it directly with all the taboo nonsense out there, which I now know was wrong on so many levels. I can also credit this particular friend with introducing me to the Aneros line of products. On an earlier expedition, he had mentioned to us all that he was buying one for his prostate health and the possibility of a hands-free orgasm. I never consulted him later, but it made me curious, and years later I ended up buying an MGX after first discussing the idea with my wife. I never fell in love with it, as some do. I always felt like it was just too small to do much for me, and never have had the time to engage in the hours-long sessions supposedly required to master those devices. It has come in handy from time to time as a butt plug to use during sex with my wife, but that's about it. Now to more recent times and the beginning of the part about releasing my inner kink. If I had to pick a time, I'd say it began a little over 2 years ago, on a hot and humid Tennessee summer day when suddenly on my lunch break, I decided I hated boxer shorts. Frankly, to spare all from the gory details, I just got tired of the utter lack of support they provide the boys during those sweaty days on the job site. I decided on something sexier and more supportive. Of all things, I decided on women's athletic bikinis and boy shorts. Don't ask me why, but I actually knew nothing at the time about the vast array of men's sexy undies to be had. I wanted to be comfortable and sexy, that's all I knew. And that same day, I acted upon my first impulse and bought some name-brand nylon sports panties on the way home. I purposefully left my first pair of panties in the dirty laundry so I knew my wife would find them. I just didn't have the nerve at the time to confront it head on. It was a bit of a tense conversation when she happened upon them, but after I convinced her they belonged to me, which took some doing, and that I wasn't in the closet, she grudgingly accepted the situation and allowed me to continue wearing what I wanted, with only occasional protests. I stayed with my panties for several months. After a good bit of trial and error, I found some beautiful, thin, sleek, black hipsters that actually stretched enough to form around my package. As much as I loved my new and utterly unprecedented apparel adventure, I was also super insecure and paranoid about being caught at work. But I learned it turns me on to wear sexy underwear. This overrode the taboos until eventually I came to fully accept my truth and feel confident about it. I basically decided it's no one else's business and I don't care if you don't like it. Eventually, for many reasons, from difficulty finding styles that fit my tastes and my balls, to resistance from my wife, I began exploring men's sexy underwear. After some more hit-and-miss shopping, I now wear men's thongs and G-strings almost exclusively, and prefer them to my old panties. The first time I bought a pair of thongs, I was worried I was going too far into the realm of taboo, and was worried about comfort, but as soon as I started wearing them, I was hooked and knew it was for me. It's hard to explain how something as simple as a pair of underwear has changed my life. They automatically up my sexy vibe when I put them on and have boosted my self-confidence to a new level I never could have imagined would happen. And though they remain a bit too racy for my wife's taste, she happily allows me to wear what I want, knowing how much I enjoy my new fashion choice. She loves her granny panties and I love my manties. We can both allow each other our choices without judgment, now that I'm not into women's undies anymore. It works for us just fine. The other part of my personal path to finding my inner kink ties directly to all the knowledge, confidence, and insight into the experiences of others I have gained as a direct result of listening to your podcast. I just can't say in words how much you have helped me discover this part that was always inside and to accept that I am who I am and there's no need to worry that I am alone. Even if I don't knowingly have a kink-friendly circle, I can feel a part of your community. For this gift of knowledge and empowerment, I've always wished I could give you the hug you have offered your listeners from time to time on the podcast, just to show my gratitude. As I progressed along in the podcast archives, I paid particular attention to your advice on equipment, safety, and methods. At first, I still wasn't sure if pegging was for me, but I kept listening because of the wealth of other information. At some point, I did decide I would love to try it someday with my wife, but heeded your cautions on patience and not blowing my chances by moving too fast. I was always optimistic she might be open to pegging, as we had experimented with anal play some, but I realized there was too much at stake to rush it. So I started experimenting with my fingers when I could sneak a moment, and doing more intensive research. Soon I told my wife I was renewing my interest in anal self-play and wanted to buy a new toy for us, but mainly for me. Though not terribly excited about the idea, she allowed me the space I needed to explore my new passion. I must say again, though my wife has always been open to trying almost every new sex idea I have had, she is not always as adventurous or forthcoming in that area as myself. So I told her I had set my sights on buying an Enjoy Pure Wand. I had tried using my fingers with success a couple of times and had only recently discovered how to really find my prostate, maybe for the first time in my life. But I found using only fingers to reach made it somewhat difficult and harder to find in a relaxed position. I also longed for the more intense stimulation the wand promised. Wand indeed! I quickly fell in love with my new toy. Though my play sessions are always too few and far between, it didn't take me more than a handful of tries to achieve a full-body ejaculating P-spot orgasm, one rare night alone. Though that's the only time it's happened thus far. I think I have also experienced more than one anal orgasm with it too, but I still consider myself very much a newbie to ass play, so I'm not quite sure what to expect. I was proud of myself for being able to take the big end during my very first session, with some effort, after fully warming up. It's just been a wonderful addition to my path of discovery so far, and I can't wait until my body someday becomes fully attuned to these new sensations. Sometime early this year, I made up my mind that I would like to try pegging if I could ever get my wife on board. Even though she was aware that I was newly interested in anal play, she never really expressed much interest or took initiative to join and explore with me. Then and now, I basically only have sessions during the rare times that I am home alone, so I considered how to broach the subject of pegging with her. Rather spontaneously one evening, when we were home alone, I went out on a limb and told her about the Mojo Upgrade quiz, which I learned about through your podcast. She agreed to go through with it, to my delight. I won't deny that as much as I wanted to learn about all her unknown desires, pegging was the main thing on my mind as I looked up the website. She went first, and I was full of anticipation. My heart was pounding as I sat across the room and watched her as she silently filled out the questions. From hearing the podcast, I had a spoiler alert that there was a question about pegging. Otherwise, neither of us had read the questions beforehand. This only added to my excitement as I watched and waited patiently for my turn. Finally, we both finished and sat together to reveal the results. I mean not to share all the details of our discoveries that night, but let me tell you, Ruby, many of my anxieties and doubts just turned to mist when I saw that yes in the line of pegging. I couldn't help but take a deep breath and let out an audible sigh of relief. Even though I knew we were still probably months from achieving the act, if ever, it was a huge milestone nonetheless. The very next day, with a full wind in my sails, as if all the problems were solved and questions answered, I promptly sent her a link to your famous podcast number 112 via text on my work break, thinking it might benefit her. Well, no reply. For days. Or ever. After a few days, I let it go and didn't press the matter. Looking back, I knew at the time that her interest in ass play is basically non-existent. After we completed the quiz, I had asked her why she had answered yes to the question about pegging. She basically answered that it was because she knew I was into ass play. To me, that meant that she was open to the idea, but not necessarily curious to try. Still, I hoped that a seed had been planted. It was a start, if not an ideal one. I knew there was no rush, so I left things there for the time being. Maybe a few weeks later, I decided it was time for a new toy. I wanted a dildo to accompany my pure wand and to continue my exploration of ass play in preparation for hopefully being pegged someday. I felt it would be good practice and fun to learn how to take a dildo. I knew I could take the large end of the wand with enough preparation, so I wanted a dildo of a comparable size. I liked the idea of a realistic-style dildo and decided on the Vic Skin Mustang in the beautiful tie-dye colors rather than a skin tone. I was so excited when it came in the mail and showed my wife. She liked it, too. I tried using it in her vagina one night, but otherwise have just used it by myself. I have had a few sessions with it over the course of this spring and summer. It was such an exciting feeling the first time I plunged that cock in my ass up to the hilt. I loved the feeling of fullness and was happy that I could take it without any discomfort. The mental aspect of defying taboo and fucking myself with abandon using my beautiful silicone cock was also a huge turn-on to me. So, fast forward to very recently. It was Labor Day weekend. On Sunday afternoon, we were heading out in the car going for a hike in the park. The last several weekends had been very busy, and I was craving some alone time with my lover. Out of the blue, I suggested we get a hotel room for the night instead of hiking. She found the idea very hot, and we pulled over right then and booked a room. We turned for home and hurried to pack our bags. I gathered up all our sexy toys so we could be prepared for anything. I was excited, thinking of all the things I wanted to do that night, and I saw this as a rare opportunity for some anal play together. At the last minute, I remembered the improvised scarf harness technique I had learned about on the podcast. I quickly found the link online to refresh my memory. I wanted to bring some scarves, just in case we might decide to try pegging. I asked my wife if she had two long scarves, not letting on exactly what my intentions were just yet. She found some and packed them up, assuming some bondage play was in order. Later that night, during a break from playing, we were talking, and I told her why I brought the scarves. To my surprise and delight, she was open to the idea of trying pegging. My arousal level instantly kicked up a notch. We spent the next few minutes discussing whether it was the right time. I wanted to make it clear to her that I was very ready, but she didn't have to go through with it if she wasn't interested. We both decided tonight was the night, so we got down to business, fitting her with her girl cock. Together we looked at the picture of how to tie the scarves, and I helped her with the knots. By now, my ass was pulsing with excitement. We got that sexy rainbow cock on her with the pretty scarves, and my mind was blown, watching her go to the mirror to admire her new fashion accessory. From behind, I saw her turn side to side and wiggle her hips to shake it. She let out a giggle as the reality of her new girl cock set in. I had been laying on my belly with my head at the edge of the bed when she turned to me and put her cock right in my face and asked me if I wanted to suck it. Without pause, I eagerly replied yes. I had tried putting the dildo in my mouth during solo sessions, but it really didn't turn me on at the time. But seeing the rainbow cock adorning my sexy wife, made it appealing in a whole new way. I opened my mouth and began taking her cock in as she began thrusting into my throat. I tried my best to resist the urge to gag as she began pushing deeper. I rolled to my back for a better angle, and she bore down on me harder, thrusting even deeper. She was fully engulfing my face with her body as I took almost the whole dildo into my mouth and throat. In and out, she thrust. I took it as long as I could, reveling in the power play and role reversal that was happening. Finally, as I ran out of air and my gag reflex was almost overpowered, I pushed her off of me and she sat back, wondering if I was okay. I think that she was more than a bit surprised and or shocked at what she had just allowed herself to do to me, while simultaneously concerned for my well-being. As I caught my breath, the first words out of my mouth were, "I'm okay." Then I said, "That was fucking awesome." I told her that I'd tried sucking it before, but it was nowhere near as sexy as this. I told her I was surprised how much I had enjoyed it. After all that sexy play, my arousal level was through the roof, and my ass was pulsing with desire. It was time. I moved on all fours with my ass to the edge of the bed so she could stand on the floor and penetrate me doggy style. After we got my ass adjusted to just the right height, she got her cock lined up, began pushing, and the dildo just popped in as I let out a deep moan of pleasure. I lay my head and arms down and let her take me for the first time. Oh, it felt so good, so comfortable, so arousing on all levels. The idea of submitting my body to my lover was overwhelming. After a few minutes, we tried a new position as she was having difficulty with the scarf harness holding things just right. She lay on her back, and I climbed on top and straddled her cock. I fucked her like that for a few more minutes and was able to find a good angle to grind my prostate, but I didn't really achieve anything more than that. I eased off of her and collapsed next to her on the bed. It had happened. My pegging fantasy was now reality. We had a discussion to debrief what had happened. We both agreed we had enjoyed the experience, and my wife learned a lot about what felt good and what could be better. The scarf harness, though effective, was not holding the dildo low enough and had caused some major discomfort to her pubic mound. Also, she discovered that she would have liked to have some more direct stimulation to her clit. She realized a proper harness was necessary. I agreed that we need to get a good harness and showed her a couple of toys online, toys like the Tantus Fuse line that are designed to sit between her labia and the Fuse Tango double. With those thoughts in mind, we were exhausted and the night had turned into early morning, so we collapsed to the bed for some much-needed sleep. My fantasies for the evening had been realized and I went to bed fully satisfied. A week later, I had the opportunity to follow up on our recent foray to see how she was feeling about it. Aside from complaints about the discomfort of the scarf harness, which I assured her was an easy fix with proper equipment, she expressed concern that the whole act is, quote, unnatural, end quote, and she needed answers/explanations from me addressing this hang-up. It was very late, and we were going to bed, so she said it could wait for now. I was not surprised by her feelings, as a couple days prior, I had told her I had some links to reviews about two harness options, which I could send her if she wanted to investigate and weigh in on her preferences. She had only replied with a quick, okay, and immediately changed the subject. So clearly, there are some more issues on her part that need to be addressed if we are to move forward from here. The day after this conversation, I revisited podcast number 112 for ideas. You do briefly touch on the common concern of it's not natural. But if you could offer any further insight, it would be greatly appreciated. I really don't want to mess up any remaining hope I have of making pegging a regular part of our sex life. I know I have unloaded a lot of information here, and I could easily have shared even more. I just needed to share my story now before there's too much space of time between the events and my writing. I have earnestly wanted to contact you more than once before at different milestones along the path, but it has all backed up to this moment. So I had to go back far enough to get a full perspective of what changes in my life led to the night when I got my pegging cherry popped. I have never before been so forward and frank or shared such intimate details with a complete stranger, but I also have no one else to talk to about it. Hopefully, my story can be of use to you or others. You have given me so much, and this is all I can offer in return at this time. You allowed me the space to listen and think and have my feelings without judgment, and gave me reassurance that I needed to be confident in my desires. Offering you my story is my small way to give back. Ruby, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can truly say I wouldn't be here without the work you do. And now you can tally one more mark on your harness as you have yet again helped to change the world one ass at a time. And he signs it, with love, Tennessee Booty Scooper, which, remember, was one of the caving vernacular. And that's one of the caving words is booty scooper, which fascinates me as to what that could mean. Anyway, I so appreciate you sharing this story. Oh my gosh. It was a long one, but you know, I went through it and I thought, what can I edit? And it's all relevant. It's all part of your story. So I ended up reading the whole thing and I'm totally glad that I did. Now, immediately, let's get right back to the unnatural thing. So it depends on what's underneath that word for her. And what I mean by that is, okay, let me give you some options. She can say, oh, it's just not natural, right? And she can mean because she doesn't have a cock and she has to strap one on to fuck you. So that's just not natural in her mind. Because potentially she has some fairly rigid ideas of the dictated gender roles in our society. And those roles do not include a woman strapping on a fake cock. Some women have an issue with this. Some women have an issue of strapping it on because they feel like it's going to destroy their femininity. And so that part of it feels unnatural. See, that word is not going to get me very far because I don't know what's underneath it. She can also think that it's unnatural because you shouldn't be doing things that involve toys. But, you know, clearly the response to that is, okay, but do you guys have a vibrator that you play with her with, or butt plugs or things? Because those are all things that you add to your sex life to bring each other more pleasure. And if a dildo is unnatural, then these other toys could be seen as unnatural as well. What I suspect is that she got caught up a little bit in the difficulty of the first time. Because the learning curve is very steep, like I always say. Not only is the learning curve steep, but she had a scarf harness, which is not ideal, and she had that feeling of bruising or uncomfortability with the pubic mound because the dildo was sitting too high. It is difficult to get a scarf harness to hold a dildo far down enough, especially to get clit stimulation. I will give you that. The do-it-yourself scarf harness has limitations. So not only was that uncomfortable, but she didn't really know how to move. She didn't really know how to work it. And all of that can combine to a very unnatural feeling. So that could have been what she meant, was just the physical sensation of actually fucking someone felt very unnatural. Well, of course it's going to, because she's never had a cock. I would do a multi-pronged approach, no pun intended. Here's the first thing I would do, is I would inform her of the pleasure aspect of the prostate and equate it with the pleasure aspect of the G-spot and talk to her about that a little bit and add in there that prostate stimulation is actually a really healthy thing for your prostate and give her some details about the whole avoiding BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is swollen prostate, which happens to men older than you are, but you're not that far away from when some men first start having those symptoms. So avoiding that, there's also a study that shows that men that have more prostate stimulation have less of a chance of getting prostate cancer. That is a study that's been published. So, okay, that's all medical stuff, sort of like, these are all the good reasons why we should do this, but this is not addressing her emotions. I do think that if you can get her to sit down and listen to 112, it would be the best thing. Part of the reason I think that is because it covers so many bases, and you know, you listen to it again, so you know what it covers. It's a matter of her willingness. acknowledge her feelings, first of all. Acknowledge that she feels uncomfortable with the situation the way it is now, and that you sense her back off, and that you sensed it when you were going to send her the links of the harnesses to get her input on it, and that you totally respect that and want to honor it and want to understand it and talk about it some more, because you really care about how she feels about this. So that's the very first step, is to do that. And then whatever it takes, you know, do some really special things for her and say, I want to listen to something with you. And this is one of the links that I send you. And it lasts this long. And I will rub your feet and I will fill up your glass of drink, a wine or margarita or what have you. If you will please, please, please listen to this for me, because it really means a lot to me. And I would so appreciate it. And then we could talk a little bit more about this situation, because as I mentioned before, I don't want you to do anything you're not comfortable with, and I sense discomfort here. I want this to be something that we enjoy, that we both enjoy, and that is a fun thing for us, one more option to put in our sexual treasure chest of choices, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to do this thing that I feel really weird about for you because you like it. I get that you don't have a whole lot of interest in experiencing it if that's where she's coming from. It needs to be a lot of mutuality here. And let's see, the last thing I would recommend is, when you get to a point that feels like the right point about this, is to say, you know, there's some beautiful harnesses out there that are so feminine and you would look so fucking hot in. And, you know, should we decide that we want to do this and talk through it and resolve any kind of back off that you have, correct misconceptions, blah, 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 I want to show you those harnesses because I can picture you in them, and it just almost makes me come thinking about you in them. And I'm talking about whatever might catch her imagination. If she's a leather kind of woman, you know, those Aslan leather harnesses might really be awesome for her. They might capture her imagination. If she has some fears about femininity because she's actually strapping on a cock, then you want to go to the spare parts harnesses with the garters and stuff, which is the Bella or the Sasha. If she wants something no muss, no fuss, you know, there's pull-on panty harnesses that Spare Parts sells as well. Those would be ideal for comfort. Any of the Spare Parts ones would be great for comfort. So, yeah, getting really good equipment, that type of thing. But involving her 100% in what looks good to you. You know, these are the ones I've heard are really good, but you get to choose this because you're going to wear it. It's your cock. It's your harness. It's, you know, let's get what you want. And your input comes just from the size of it, maybe the texture of the finish of the dildo, that sort of thing. Because I can hear how much you just totally want to facilitate this, because you really, really want this to be something that is part of your regular sex life. And once you get to some sort of agreement, should you try this again? Should she get on board? Please remember the thing that I tell people who kind of go overboard on this. And what I mean is, if you love it, love it, love it, then you're hoping that every single time you guys get into bed, you're going to do this. That is not going to go over well. I can almost tell just by what you've told me about your relationship already. Schedule it. Absolutely schedule it. Say, wow, that was so fucking amazing. You know, if you guys do it again and it works really well and she's on board and she has a good time, maybe even, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, with all the great equipment and everything, she had an orgasm? And then it's like, okay, that's awesome. So I would like to experience this once a month. Are you on board for that? You know, what do you think? How frequently would you like to do it? Because it does require some advanced planning. You need to clean out and that kind of stuff. But that way, that is a date that you can count on and you can look forward to and you can sexy text about. And she won't have to worry that every single time you get in bed, you're going to want this. She gets her regular sex or whatever it is she likes the best. And then every so often, the frequency of which would be agreed upon between you two, you get your favorite thing. So yeah, that's a lot of advice. But I think, you know, you've come so far. Good grief. It's like you're right on the edge. And that unnatural thing threw you for a loop. So I commend you for pausing and really thinking about it and asking for a little advice and, you know, wondering where to go from there. Because pauses are really good things. That's one of the things I advise for men wanting to get their partners on board with pegging. One of the words I say is patience. Communication, information, patience and persistence. And not persistence in terms of like you fucking bug them all the time. That's not what I mean. And I know that you don't know that. I just want to say that for everyone listening. It means occasionally you revisit it in a gentle manner, in a respectful manner, in a I would like to talk about this kind of manner, as opposed to, so when are we going to do that thing that I really want to do? So, you know, you guys get the point. Anyway, that is the advice that I have for you. I am looking forward to hearing more stories about how amazing it has become, because I'm pretty confident you're going to get there. And the other thing you can do, you know, is to ask her, what would make this more fun for you? And it sounds like you kind of already did that. And you guys talked about the fused dildos, and she talked about clitoral stimulation. So absolutely make sure that that's something that you get on board with, and that she gets that clitoral stimulation the next time she's fucking you. So yeah. Okay. Good luck to you. Thank you for sharing your story. I know my listeners are going to love this one. Tennessee booty scooper. All right. So with that, we are done. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Also, you can find my work at pegging101.com, which has informational pegging articles only, with no kink or BDSM. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, or check out my Facebook page. And if you end up buying some amazing new toys from enticeme.com, remember that not only are you going to get totally, totally personalized service from Tiffany, if you buy a toy and you can't figure out how to work it, you call her up and you say, how the hell do I work this? And she will talk to you directly. So we're talking 100% personalized service. You're going to get that, but you please need to remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase, because some of you buy all this cool stuff and you forget to use the coupon code. So yes, go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and shop to your little heart's content and support Pegging Paradise. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too outlandish, too obscure, or too ominous. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so just send those questions to my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.